Fluttering in the Floodlights, Yay Sayer, hier bei uns auf 100,6 Flux FM. Heute Abend spielen sie gemeinsam mit Tame Impala in der Max-Schmeling-Halle. Es wird ein fantastischer Gig, das kann man jetzt, glaube ich, schon mal versprechen. Wer die Band schon seit Bestehen verfolgt, der weiß, das ist gar nicht mehr so einfach, heutzutage nach so langer Zeit, also schon über 10 Jahre zusammen zu spielen und sich als Band auch relativ erfolgreich im Business zu halten. Es gab musikalisch einen ganz schönen Umschwung nochmal von der ersten Platte bis heute. Die aktuelle Scheibe, die ihr bei uns auch im Programm schon zur Genüge gehört habt, ist doch sehr, sehr tanzbar geworden und doch gibt es Botschaften darauf. Darüber werden wir uns jetzt unterhalten, beziehungsweise natürlich auch über das, was die Jungs sonst so umtreibt, wie man vielleicht Familie mit dem Arbeitsleben auf einen Nenner bringen kann, wie man sich vielleicht auch positioniert in einer Welt oder in einem Land unter Trump und so weiter und so fort. Wir gucken mal, wie weit wir kommen. Welcome to the studio,
Hello.
Ira and
Thank
Anand
you.
From Yay Sayer. Not your first time here. You've been here before.
Yeah, but have we ever been here during the summer?
I don't know if we have. Not really.
Beautiful day today.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? And it's a first cooler day, actually.
Yeah, it's not. It's
our first cool day on this tour. Yes. And I mean that in the figurative sense as well as the literal.
Thank you.
Yes.
So that means that you've only experienced Berlin in winter, which is cruel, actually.
It's a bit gray.
It is very gray. Yeah.
I've never described it as cruel, but
Well, there are some people who would say, like, do not ever go to Berlin in winter because you're going to hate it. You're going to hate the city and it's going to like taint your whole picture and image about the city.
But we always find something fun to do.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the city's about the people and the food and the culture.
Yeah. Okay, so I was just saying that we've got loads of stuff to talk about. We could probably fill a whole hour, so let's not waste too much time. Let's go immediately into your new record, Erotic Reruns. And you know, I hate to talk about titles. I never really do, I promise. But this title was just something that irritated a lot of people.
It did.
Irritated,
yeah.
Who did it irritate?
You know, I can point my fingers at people sitting here in our editorial team. Everybody's like,
point the fingers, I want to know.
This girl, this guy over there, including the head of music, including me, by the way.
Wow, we didn't intend to irritate
me. Erotic reruns.
We just wanted to be provocative.
Yeah, but irritation, I think that's the wrong direction.
Well, it was just like erotic reruns. I mean, what do those guys try to do? Like raise some attention here? Or is that kind of like a selling point? Or what is it? And
it's irritating, then it's obviously not a selling point.
It's
hurting us.
Yeah.
No, we're really into turn-offs.
But I was actually reading that there is a whole meaning behind it. It wasn't just like, oh, let's just call it erotic reruns because it just sounds funny. There is actually even a political meaning behind that.
You tell us what it is. Tell us what that political meaning is.
I'm not going to do this.
I need to hear what the people think.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave it up to you.
I think all of our album titles have always been a little bit obscure, vague, and tend to have multiple meanings. Also multiple meanings within the band. So.
But I mean,
that's part of the fascination of art is that everybody kind of interprets it differently. It's hard to say that an album.
But I think it is, I mean, this is our most kind of explicitly political album. And we have this, you know, it's all a lot of commentary about our president who has starred in pornography films.
Yes.
Exactly.
And he's like kind of this rehash from the 80s. He keeps coming back and he's like, why is this guy coming back again and again?
Well, I guess, you know, a lot of people would put erotic in a rather positive context. And I think this was part of the irritation that we were like, well, erotic is actually something really nice. But then when I was reading up that it is about politicians, it is about Trump's like, you know, to put those two words in one sentence, like erotic and Trump eroticism, it was like, I'm not sure.
But I think that's part of his appeal, you know, is that people think like, oh, yeah, he's a playboy or something.
You know? Is that really so still?
I think so. It's like people
I've heard him actually in a very recent conversation with somebody I know. Their father describes him as I just like him because he's a cowboy. You know, he's he'll do whatever, you know, it's not really about his policies. It's just that, you know, he says whatever and he'll do whatever. And,
and his wife is hot.
That sounds,
of course the wife,
And that sounds, that's frightening.
And he doesn't give a shit about the political establishment. Yeah. You know, he just does what he thinks is right for the country.
Yep.
Of course, yeah, it's true. But still, it was, I'm just mentioning this, it was kind of an irritated thing. But you're mentioning it is your most political record so far. And I assume there is also, there was probably a lot of debate within the band that whether to do it or not, you know, being political is one thing. Of course, you have your political opinions. And of course, you probably read tons of news being Americans. I know that from my own husband, who obsesses about reading political news and gets angry.
I know a lot of day, Americans hour, who do.
Read about it, read about it, get angry and do nothing.
Yeah. No, it's true. But that's not an American phenomenon, by the way. I
mean, no,
this goes for, you can say, the whole world. I mean, it's the same thing in our country as our neighboring countries, you know, but it's it seems to be a state of mind, state of these times.
Yeah, well, we also, we were on tour during the whole run-up to the election.
During the election?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. During the election.
That tour continued through the election.
Yeah.
In particularly red states and a lot of places and some flip states that went to him. It was a very bizarre, I mean, to use a word, there's a lot of other emotions, but it was a very bizarre time to be out on the road doing something that is inherently so social and communicating with people. I mean, that's part of what we do that is interesting is, you know, we play these shows, you experience this hour together with people in a different place, in a different country sometimes than yourselves. But one of the benefits is that afterwards you can go out and you have conversations and open conversations. You see how people are engaged, what they're engaged in. And that, I mean, I find that to be some of the most interesting sides of what we do. But during that, it's pretty bleak.
Yeah. But it could also have been hair-raising, I assume, talking to people, a little bit disappointing.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean bleak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
No, I mean, I had conversations the night of the election with people that came to our show and were telling me why they didn't vote, you know, and that's tough.
Super, that's tough
to have that, you know.
Also wir haben jetzt gerade uns sehr weit bewegt. Ich habe Sie nach dem Titel gefragt, was ich gar nicht gerne mache, aber Erotic Reruns ist einfach so ein Titel für Yeysayer, was der wirklich schräg war. Also wir haben uns alle gefragt, was soll das, dieser Titel, wo kommt er her? Und es gibt auch schon Interviews, wo man lesen kann, okay, das ist also ein Bezug tatsächlich auf Donald Trump, sein Image als Playboy und sein Wiedererscheinen nach Jahren. Er ist ja jetzt nun schon seit Ewigkeiten im amerikanischen Kosmos und jetzt taucht er also tatsächlich als Politiker wieder auf, auch mit diesem, ja, sexistisch, erotisch, wie man es auch immer nennen möchte, Image. Und das war einfach so, hat mit reingespielt in diesen Titel. Insgesamt ist die Platte aber sehr, sehr politisch geworden und Sie sagen, Sie haben die Platte geschrieben, als Sie mit der letzten Scheibe auf Tour waren mit Amen and Goodbye. Das war 2016. Das waren also gerade die Zeiten der Wahl und meinen beide, das war toll auf der einen Seite, weil man verbringt diese Zeit beim Konzert mit den Leuten, man feiert sich gegenseitig ab und danach spricht man mit den Leuten und dann erklären sie einem, warum sie nicht gewählt haben. Das wiederum ist dann ein ziemlich herber Schlag und dieses ja getrennt sein oder diese unterschiedlichen Welten, die da jetzt auch gerade das politische Klima in den Staaten bestimmen, haben auch dazu geführt, dass diese Platte sehr politisch geworden ist. So the political climate in your country has contributed to this political commentary that you're basically, that you've put on your record.
Definitely. And, and I think not every song is the same. Some songs are directly attacking, you know, people in the government. That
yep.
are, and then other ones are like kind of looking more inward and thinking about how can you change the way that you behave and how, you know, because there's a little bit of Donald Trump in everyone.
Of course.
Also the,
he's kind of the president that America deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the political climate is a reflection of the cultural climate.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have this hyper-capitalist system where, like, it's all about making as much money as possible.
Growth above all else.
Yeah.
Then he's a an amazing success story.
Yeah, no, and he's just a symptom for what's going on anyway. It's true. Let's play some music. Otherwise, some people go like, oh, I can't believe they talk about music. They talk about politics all the time.
I hate the album title. I hate the talking.
Sing, don't talk. Yes, I am. Let me listen in on you. And that would be a direct reference to...
Well, it's a combination of things. It's a comment about xenophobia and nativism. Mm-hmm. You know, they're slipping through the holes of the fire ants. It's all about immigrants. And then it's also about the surveillance state. So I was kind of imagining this ideal scenario where someone like some anti-immigrant nativist guy like Jeff Sessions had just completely lost his mind on acid and was just singing a song.
Or found his mind on acid?
Yeah. I imagine these guys that are like these drug crusaders that are so scared of expanding their minds. If they did expand it, they would double down on the nativism.
Most probably. Okay, let's listen. Yes, Amit, let me listen in on you. Beep, 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 beep.
Submarines.
Submarines, exactly. Yay, Sam, let me listen in on you. Ein Track aus der aktuellen Scheibe Erotic Reruns, die heute Abend in der Max-Schmeling-Halle live gespielt wird, gemeinsam mit Tame Impala. What a match. Tame Impala and Yay, Sam. I mean, this is really a beautiful, beautiful collaboration that is not happening for the first time.
No. They're actually returning the favor because the first time we went to Australia, I think 9 years ago, right? Is that right? Something like that.
No.
Might have been longer.
Eleven years ago?
Was that with your debut record?
Yeah, we were there in October of 2008, I believe.
Yeah, they opened for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they were like 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, so we taught them all these tricks.
And then, I know.
And then we didn't use any of that advice, but
but that's kind of cool. Did you stay in contact over the years? Did you become buddies, or is that pure coincidence?
No, we've done some other stuff. We did a Laneway. Do you know Laneway? It's a traveling festival in Australia.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
It's kind of like summer camp for bands. Mm-hmm. You travel around, and it's all the same bands in every town for, I don't know, 8 or 9 shows. Uh-huh. We did one of those together.
And that's one of those things where you'll be, I mean, it's in their home country. So when we were in Perth, we were going over to one of their houses to, you know, have
they were teaching
shrimp on the barbie.
And teaching us how to watch cricket.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did not understand.
But did you somewhat like it, or is it something that you would not return to, watching cricket?
I mean, I've done it on hallucinogens, and
that's
interesting.
Work.
No, that's interesting. Oh, okay. Actually,
we're just trying to figure out how the game works.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not. It was enjoyable to hang out with them in their element.
Of course, you know, of course, and I guess it's not normal that bands do this, you know, go to other people's houses or so. I mean,
no, it's usually about just getting tanked backstage.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Which, you know.
Which is fun too, but not necessarily if that's the only thing.
But I've gone to see there's like, you know, offshoot bands like Pond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know them.
Yeah. And, yeah. Where were we? I guess that was in England.
And then Albrook and Avery. And they're just like, those guys are just all amazingly prolific and creative, fun musicians. So.
And it's just, you know, it's nice to, there's a couple different. It's always lovely to be on the road away from home and run into, you know, friends really,
exactly.
To put it simply.
Exactly, you friends. Know, that's the key word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also heute Abend, wie gesagt, spielen Sie mit Tame Impala. Sie werden für Tame Impala eröffnen. Interessanterweise haben Sie vor 11 Jahren, nachdem die Debütplatte von Yes Air erschien, auch mit Tame Impala gespielt, hat Tame Impala für Sie eröffnet in Australien, in Tame Impalas Heimat. Und insofern ist es natürlich eine schöne Geschichte, dass es heute andersrum ist. Und Sie sagen also, wir haben Ihnen einen ganzen Ratschlag gegeben und Sie haben das auch alles genutzt, deswegen sind Sie heute so erfolgreich und wir nicht. Was jetzt auch nicht so stimmt. Und Sie haben sich auch im Laufe der Jahre dann also weiter getroffen, sind Freunde geworden, waren auch mal bei den Leuten zu Hause, haben sie in ihrem Element gesehen, haben zusammen Cricket angeguckt, haben es versucht zu verstehen, haben es nicht kapiert. Selbst unter Drogen ging gar nichts mehr. Es war zwar mehr Spaß, aber verstanden hat man es trotzdem nicht. So, tonight, Max Schmeling Halle is, of course, I guess, a good platform to play your own new record, even mm-hmm. though it will not be only the new record. I mean, it's going to be from the beginning to today. It's a review. It's a yeah. whole retrospective.
We always do greatest hits.
Yeah.
Of course.
With a focus on the new stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And then also, you know, I mean, Max Schmeling is featured in a lyric in Ambling Out.
It's true. Yeah, it's so. True. So was that your plan
to come full circle?
Yeah.
Was it your plan to do this tonight, or did you just say, like, well, we don't want to play Columbia Halle, we have to play at Max Schmeling Halle?
Yeah, we forced it.
We lobbied that.
We called in a terrorist threat.
Yeah. We said, we'll do it, but.
Good. Old. What I found amazing when I was reading about the new album is that you, this time, did almost a whole do-it-yourself thing. Whereas in the past you had record companies giving you some money, let's say, maybe not shitloads of money, but some money. This time it was like you were there with the empty hands and you had to do it all yourself. And you even hired your intern to record the record, which I thought was brilliant.
Well, the first step was getting an intern, tricking someone into becoming my intern.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember going to the Sales and Anonymous was like, yeah, my intern's here. And I was like, you could do that? Yeah. I'm like, we do this professionally? Yeah, I'm still amazed by the whole thing.
And the intern is a very young kid. I mean, he's what? 19,
yeah, I think he's 19, just about 20. To turn 21. Yeah.
He's a wunderkind.
Yeah. So he actually went to the same high school that Chris and I went to mm-hmm. in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And I was asked by my school to do a little speech. So I did the speech and he was sitting in the front row. Oh. And the teachers said, you know, you should keep in touch with this guy. He's going up to New York to go to this NYU Clive Davis music production.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you talk to him at that talk already? Like, did you have contact with him? Or was that just a teacher linking you to
this guy over here? I actually did. I played a trick on the whole class. Mm. And I got an old guy and a young guy and played them two different. I played them a high resolution WAV file and then a low res MP3.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the old guy got it right, and he got it wrong.
And you still
and I
took
still
him
hired
in
him.
As an
yeah.
intern.
Everyone says you should have hired the old guy.
Also es ist ein 19-Jähriger, der irgendwo in Baltimore saß, als Anand zurückgegangen ist in seine, what was it, die High School?
Yeah, my old high school. Yeah, so we went to the same high school,
you know,
18 years apart.
Okay. Also vor 18 Jahren ist Anand in Baltimore in die Highschool gegangen, hat dort jetzt nochmal einen Talk gegeben, da saß halt einer in der ersten Reihe und hat auch irgendeine Frage, die Anand gestellt hatte, falsch beantwortet und trotzdem hat der Lehrer gesagt, der Typ hier, mit dem solltet ihr Kontakt halten, der geht jetzt nach New York und macht dort irgendwie Music Production oder sowas in der Richtung. Und sie haben es getan, haben ihn jetzt als Praktikanten angestellt und er hat am Ende tatsächlich sogar die Platte aufgenommen. And he did a really good job.
He did a fantastic job.
And he also played drums.
He did some of the drums.
Yeah.
We also got this. I mean, it was a real group effort. Like we got our current live drummer. We got him to play drums, mm-hmm. and I brought all my studio equipment over to his little tiny practice space and recorded his drums. Yeah. And then we just give all these files to Daniel, my intern turned yaysayer engineer mixer. Mm-hmm. And you know, you always
turned friend.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about the record labels is that they always want to spend money on a professional mixer with 20 years of experience and 10 successful records.
And on a studio.
Space.
Of course.
I think, you know, we've tried to in the past as much as we've been able to and also been allowed to, is to take as much money as we've gotten from past deals and put it back into our recording in terms of buying gear, educating ourselves about producing and recording. And so it's also at this point, after doing that for so many times, we've built up these professional studios as well as the knowledge and wherewithal.
Right. So what to do with it if not recording and using it yourself?
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense, everything else. Also Sie sagen gerade mit den Plattenfirmen, was natürlich so, die haben Geld da reingesteckt, dass man in einem gekauften Studio, also bei einem sehr erfolgreichen Producer dann produziert hat, in dessen Studio. Und Sie sagen, Sie haben im Laufe der Jahre jetzt so viel Sachen, Equipment sich selber angeschafft und Ihre eigenen kleinen Räumlichkeiten, wo halt massig Zeug steht, warum soll es jetzt nicht selber auch genutzt werden? Beziehungsweise warum soll man es nicht selber machen? Man hat ja nun mittlerweile auch genügend Software, mit der man super arbeiten kann. We're very much looking forward to your gig tonight. Unfortunately, I can't go myself. I told you the babysitter problem.
I just leave the kids at home, figure they'll be all right.
Right. How old are they?
I have a almost 7-year-old, almost 2-year-old.
Ah, they're old enough to take care of themselves. What about you, Ira?
1.5.
1.5. Yeah. Okay.
He's on the border.
But
I think he could do it.
Give it another year and he'll be totally fine.
All right. And then I can just stop. Yeah, doing
he's,
anything?
He's off to college and he's off to taking care of your...
My kids aren't going to college.
Of course not.
I mean, really, now my 7-year-old, she can read. I'm like, okay, my work is done here. She just sits in a corner and she just can occupy herself reading.
I might be moving to Berlin. I don't know.
Oh, will you? I thought you're moving upstate to Chris.
I don't know.
Sit down in a little sculpture park and just... let the day end without any...
No, you know, always moving is a state of mind.
Okay. Ira und Anand von Yeseya hier bei uns heute Abend in Max Schmelinghalle. Und wir haben jetzt Tickets zu vergeben. Bitte ruft an unter 030-2000-9000. Thank you guys. There's a last song, 24-Hour Hateful Life. This is also what we're going to play tonight, right?
I think so.
Yes.
Here we go.